We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
WEEI, the home of the Greg Hill Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10. This is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
This hour, sponsored by Kubota Tractor and MB Tractor Equipment and Equipment in Plastow, New Hampshire.
Bradfo and Steve! Bradfo and Steve! Bradfo and Steve!
It's time for the best baseball show you're ever going to find on the radio.
Ball, point, ball, net, net, ball, net, done.
Rob Bradford of WEEI.com and Steve Peralt of the Section 10 Podcast are making the greatest game great again, 2 hours at a time.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
No football, no basketball, no hockey. Just the most entertaining baseball talk you've ever experienced. It's the Live BP Baseball Show.
If you hit the man with the ball, then he may run to the pillows.
With Bradford and Peralt on EEI.
All right, here we go. Live BP baseball show in the biggest weekend of the season to date. Red Sox at Yankees. Red Sox today, tonight, let it be known, let it be said that if the Red Sox win today, they officially bury the Yankees. This is, as the great radio host of years gone by once said, this is the Yankees elimination party today. This could be the Yankees elimination party, and we want to celebrate in style. And in style, by meaning that we have four people. We may have five. We may have six. Who knows? But in studio, I want to set the scene. Brian Barrett, who is going to be helping the pregame show all the way up with myself, Rob Bradford, all the way up until 7 o'clock, till Joe and Will and Sean are on the call. Jason Mastronato of Locked On Podcast, Odyssey Sports and Boston Herald. And the Boston Herald. Right?
Yeah, don't forget the Boston.
No,
Herald.
Well, you're part of the Odyssey family now with this podcast. So there you go. And most importantly, Steve Peralt is on assignment. Though it's been the week of Steve. Steve, how are you?
I am. I'm doing very well, Rob. I have to say the weather here stinks. So there's a chance that I'm not going to go to the game tonight. There's a chance it gets rained out. I don't know if there's been any updates. I haven't been on the Twitter machine in the last half hour or so. But no, I'm doing well, but yeah, the weather is garbage, just in case you were wondering.
See, this is why we have boots on the ground, Steve, and we're going to get to the week of Steve. Yeah, Steve, it's been the week of Steve, correct? You haven't had a better week in your life than this week.
Yeah, so I put something up on the Instagram kind of recapping the trip in Denver, and someone had commented, like, I'm pretty sure Steve's never had more fun in his entire life, and I had to think about it, and outside of some Hall of Fame trips, which were a lot of fun, when Griffey got inducted, Pedro... This is right up there. I don't know how you can top this, considering the access was awesome. The game was a ton of fun to see. The weather wasn't too hot. New York City stinks. I just want to get right to it. I hate this place. I worked here for five, I still work here, technically, but I can work remotely in Boston, which is great. But I lived here for 5 years, and I almost forgot how bad it smells. It's so bad. You got weirdos coming up to you every 2 seconds. The Yankees are trash, so they smell like garbage as well.
They're so bad.
It's embarrassing out here, Rob. My boots on the ground recap is it's embarrassing out here for people of New York and for Yankee fans.
You have poop on your shoes. That's what you're saying?
I basically do. I look at the bottom of my shoes when we get back to the hotel. I'm like, there's going to be some new sticky substance on the bottom of my shoes because this place Thanks. No, it's been a fun trip.
So Alex Cora is going to be meeting with the media, but we found out some news about the lineup that's coming out, which is, and I don't know if it's maybe it's just come out. I don't know yet. But we do not have Xander Bogaerts starting today. Was it Christian Arroyo? Is that what you said, Bizquick?
Christian Arroyo's playing second. Kike's playing short.
Oh, Kike's playing short, which is weird, isn't
super
it?
Super weird.
Is it? Super yeah. weird? I don't know.
Maybe there's some information where the Yankees don't hit it to the left side. They'd rather have, who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, I don't know if you could, Steve, you were at the game last night, correct?
Yes, was at the game last night. Rather uneventful, but was there.
But here's the thing, and you guys can weigh in too, but Steve first. The Bogaerts, one of the last, his last at bat, I believe it was in the ninth inning. Yeah, it was the ninth inning. He let go of the bat, and we were saying, because I don't know if you know this, but we were on the broadcast last night. Everyone was listening. It was great. And
yeah, country.
Oh, let me tell you. And he released the bat, and then the next pitch he swung, and it was sort of an awkward swing. He came back out and played the last half, but now he's not in the lineup. You know, not good. Like, not, this is, and he's had wrists, correct me if I'm wrong, he's had wrist things before, right, Jason?
In the past, yeah. He played the whole season, remember, with his wrist was messed
right,
up. He exactly, had like 3 months
exactly.
of trouble before.
I'm surprised he hasn't had more wrist issues, the way that he always is able to hold back on a check swing. Like, that takes a lot of strength.
Well, there you go. Now it's he's paying the piper. So I don't know if you noticed that from your keen eye from the seats, but anyway, we got that news, but it's just one of many things. But before we go on, because your boots in the ground, Steve, today, Steve, yeah. give us the vibe. Like, my sense last night was that you had this, you know, you had this people coming back, obviously, from the All-Star break, Yankee Stadium, and the minute that Arroyo hit that home run, it was, we give up. Was that it?
That was essentially the vibe. We were I'm in New York City with my girlfriend Elaine, and I don't want to say WEEI Hall of Famer, but I mean should be in consideration.
She
for
definitely
all the work
in consideration.
She did for the company. But no, we were about to get to the seats, and before, and this is very important information, before we got our bucket of chicken fingers, which is a must have at Yankee Stadium, even though they don't have honey mustard. I'm like, Arroyo's upright. I kind of, something's going to happen here. Like, I Montgomery stinks, and Christian Arroyo always seems to have important home runs, even though it was early in the game. And to your point, Rob, he hits a bomb, and it just took the air out of the place, and it was dead like the rest of the game. There were a couple of chants here and there, let's go Yankees, but I can't remember Yankee fans having this little to brag about. Like, there's obviously Judge not being in the lineup hurts. But even when Stanton comes up, when, you know, some of the, they had a couple chances off to Erod, but not really. And it was just a dead stadium. And I understand it's not your Yankees of old and the old Yankee Stadium with Jeter and all these guys. And you have all the fans going in there like ready to beat you up. But it's still just embarrassing is the word that comes to mind. And I'm not even trying to overdo it as a Red Sox guy. Like, it really felt embarrassing. And the fans felt embarrassed. That this is the team that they have to root for.
I don't
for.
Blame them. They stink.
But they honestly, like, that's the vibe, Rob, where it's like, this is the team that we're supposed to pay money to come see. Like, you can tell they don't even want to be at the game. People were leaving early. Like, fifth, sixth inning, people were getting out of there, and it's not like it was a blowout. So, the Arroyo home run definitely took the air out of the park a little bit. And then outside of that, I mean, let's be honest, not much more happened in the game. That was basically it.
So was there ever air in the park to begin with? Because it seems like New York has already given up on this team. Like, they remind me of the
20... I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to lie. Going into it, people actually, like, I don't know if it's just like you're walking in with your boys, like, all right, boys, second half, you know, let's go. This is go time, you Yankees, Red Sox, let's go. You could tell it was a lot of, like, hype your boy up that, like, no, this it matters now. And so there was a little bit of buzz coming into the park, and Arroyo took it all out. He really did. Like, that home run immediately was like, oh, God, all right, it's going to be the same thing as the first half. So that kind of was the vibe. The funniest thing I noticed is that when Aroldis Chapman came in, I think he has like a 20 ERA in his last 12 appearances. He comes in the ninth inning. The Yankees are down 4-0, and they're playing like the woo! Like, they got the siren going and, like, the flames and everything. Mm. Not a single person was excited for that. There were boos. Like, why? I don't understand. I feel like you shouldn't be playing your closer entrance when you're down 4-0. You should save that for when it's actually a closer situation.
That was a mess. That was a whole storyline in itself. I've never seen a human being sweat that much in my life. It was crazy.
Oh, it was hot there last night. Yeah, I mean, October. He sweats in October. So
yeah, I know that. But it was just he was pitching mad. You could tell he was pissed off. He had to come in this game down 4-0. You could tell he was pissed off that he sucks. You know, it's like all of it. It was like everybody. So anyway, Bisquick, what do you got?
Oh yeah, Steve. So I was going to ask you. It seemed like, as you mentioned, the crowd was pretty dead last night. But they seemed like they were pretty boisterous when Giancarlo Stanton was at the plate.
Oh, he stinks.
That guy is horrible. And you know there was so people bad. In this town that were mad that the Red Sox didn't pull the trigger on that deal?
Yes.
It was Jason
Mastronato was one of them.
No.
All right, go ahead.
I might have my hand up right now, honestly, in terms of get Stanton to Boston. But, especially coming off the 59 home run season. So it's hard to look back at that now and say that we expected Stanton would be this bad at this point. But it's something that when he comes up, the point of Giancarlo Stanton is that when he comes up, you're supposed to be, as the opposing fan, kind of peeing your pants. Like, oh, no. Like, this is right. Damage is about to happen, like pun intended. And with Aaron Judge, I still kind of feel that a little bit, that he's probably going to go deep or that something might happen. With Stanton, not at all. Like, not for a second. And he strikes out per usual, and he gets the most booze. It's not even close. They do not mess with Giancarlo Stanton in the Bronx. I can promise you that.
Well, anyway, if you want to weigh on in, 617-779-7937, and I didn't mean that in any way dismissive nature, Steve, because I know you do not like my anyways, but in any way, I mean it that we all know that Giancarlo Stanton stinks, and so there. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he's flat-footed, getting blown away with 93 mile an hour fastballs. He just flat-out stinks, and to go back to my anyway leads me to how much the Yankees overall stink. And I don't know about you guys, but that lineup that they put out there last night, Yankees, no Yankees, Mariners, Rays, Royals, whatever, that lineup was the worst lineup that the Red Sox have faced all year long. Steve, I'll let you go first, and then I'll let you guys weigh in.
I'm still surprised that DJ LeMahieu is not doing what he did last year. I'm kind of stunned that that's the case. And if you're a Yankee fan, that's a huge part of the disappointment this season, is that he's hitting 270. Then Giancarlo Stanton comes up. That's a guaranteed strikeout. 3 Ks, 0 for 4, 1 left on base. Rougned Odor stinks. Like he's stunk.
He's been stinking for a while. I've been using the word stink a lot.
Killing it. Gary Sanchez hitting 215. He's really bringing it this year. You got Brett Gardner. I don't know why he's still playing. He shouldn't still be on this team. But thank God they saved enough money with that Ottavino trade that they got to keep Brett Gardner. Gleyber Torres, like, you go down the list, and I've been talking to a good amount of my Yankee fan friends this week of, like, really, like, tell me how you feel. Like, kind of venting a little bit, a little therapy. Like, how do you actually feel about this team? And they all say the same thing. If Gerrit Cole's not on the mound, I fully expect us to lose. And if he is on the mound, I still kind of expect them to lose. Like, I'm pretty sure they're a 500 team when Cole pitches. So it's a lost cause for the Yankees. You got Gittens in there at 0-91, the dude they called up for the Red Sox series, and it took him like 80 at bats to get his first hit. I don't even know who's Ambergie.
Ambergie.
I don't even know who that is.
he's the guy whose family was celebrating when he got on an error. So good for him.
Okay. Yeah, and I got to talk. Like, the highlight for me last night is I got to meet Duran's agent, Bear. And so we got, you know, that's the Bear connection there. We got Brian Bear, and then we got Barrett Duran, basically. But it was great to talk to him. And he's like, his reaction was great. He was like, that better not be his first career hit. Like, they you got to call that an error so he can have a real first career hit. So I guess that's who Ambergie is. Now I know that.
This team reminds me a lot of the 2020 Red Sox in that they are dead. There is no energy on the Yankees.
Well, that's because they stink.
Of course. But if they are a Gerrit Cole away from being the 2020 Red Sox, because their pitching staff is barely holding it together. But this is the 2020 Red Sox team. No energy, calling up guys that aren't – everybody's having a bad year. The guys that they add don't do anything.
They're worse than the Red Sox, 2020 Red Sox, in the sense that their lineup is the worst. Guys, if you saw that – I mean, you go down the list of batting average for that group last night, and I get it was a COVID thing, put a big dent in things, but it was the last four guys in that lineup – it was non-competitive. I couldn't believe they walked Chris Gittens twice with two outs. Like, it was unbelievable that they were actually only down 4 runs in that game.
So Aaron Boone's getting some heat. Brian Cashman's getting some heat. I mean, to me, it's an Aaron Boone problem because there's so much talent on this roster. Like, I know Alex Cora.
This is a Cashman problem.
How is it a Cashman
problem? Because they stink. Look at the
players. They're not performing to their baseball cards. Any of them. DJ LeMahieu.
Well, look at how the roster's constructed, though. I mean, it's all right-handed hitters, right? Correct? It's all right-handed hitters. You spent your money on Gardner. And, you know, listen, LeMahieu's, I know that LeMahieu was your guy.
He is my guy.
You want the Red Sox to get him. But you spent your money on all these things. Ottavino, you gave up for nothing. Whitlock, I'm sorry, you got to catch heat for. And so this is definitely a Cashman. If we had a show, Steve, I don't know if we could have Nate do this, but let's put up a poll, Cashman or Boone. Let's go.
No, when you have guys underperforming as up and down the lineup as the Yankees do, you have to ask what's going on with the manager. Why are they not better prepared? What is wrong with their
attack
plan?
Steve, what do you think?
Well, I think overall it's kind of per usual. We overrate or underrate the manager regardless of what the record is. I think Cora will probably get maybe too much love if the team's doing well, and then if things go poorly like they did in 19, oh, man, I don't know if Cora's lost some guys or what the deal is. But overall, I do think it is Cashman just because outside of Gerrit Cole, when the Red Sox are facing the Yankees, who are you worried about them facing on the mound? It's nobody. So I even Gerrit Cole, they crushed him at Fenway post-sticky stuff. So I don't understand how this rotation was going to get the job done, even if, to Jason's point, even if you had guys like LeMahieu, Torres, Stanton, you go down the list, Gary Sanchez, even if they're all having good seasons, you still need guys that are going to put up zeros, and they don't have nearly enough. It's Gerrit Cole, and that's it.
All right, well, Steve, the other part of the equation, I mean, this has been a long week. We always enjoy rehashing what happened the week between shows. We're with you almost every weekend day, Saturday, Sunday, you name it. We're reacting, we're breaking things down, and it's a lot easier to do. You break down a game after a game on Saturday, it's Sunday, whatever, but usually this Saturday, everyone knows the Live BP Saturday show is about rehashing what happened, and this week was chock full of Steve. It was chock full of Steve from stem to stern. And so Jason has been to the All-Star game before, correct?
Yeah.
How many times? A lot.
Three or four.
It's a scene. It's a great access, right?
Yeah, phenomenal. You can't beat the access.
No, you can't beat. So, Steve, we talked a little bit about like what you expected, what you thought going in. But I would be remiss if I did not ask you. Like, you just, now that you've experienced it, compared to what we were talking about last weekend, did it live up to what you thought it was and what surprised you?
It definitely lived up to the hype. I think going into it, I always like comparing what I'm doing currently to something I've done in the past. I like having a base ground of like, okay, I know to go there. I know to ask this, to not ask this. You know, just kind of something to go off of that I feel comfortable with. So I think heading into it, I was just trying to not, you know, get myself in any trouble, I guess. That's probably the first goal, is to make sure you don't ask something stupid or you know, end up in the wrong area of the media section. Like, obviously I'm media, but I'm putting my quotes up right now. I'm media, but you know, I don't write a damn thing. I'm really just doing all podcasts and social media stuff, which is, that's like a new, you know, new age of media. It's, I think it's just as important, but you understand that you're walking around there with the guys that have been writing about baseball for 30 or 40 years, and you don't want to piss them off. I think that was an important part of it, but overall, like Jason said, and Rob, you know this, I mean, all you guys know this, like the access at All-Star Week is insane. I think that's the craziest part, is that these guys, especially with them being in uniform, there's something about that too, where they're just like sitting in front of you like they just got plucked off of like a commercial set or something for Pepsi. Like, that's the thing that kind of blew my mind, is that they're all just right there. You can ask them whatever you want, kind of like a Super Bowl media day. But I gotta say, and I don't want to rip anybody on this program, but in terms of anybody else out there that's doing their job, some of these questions are just insanely boring. Like, people were getting on my case for asking some softball questions. I know I was getting some content there for BR Walkoff, and with Aaron Judge, I wanted to ask him about how much he cares about giving back to the kids and the next generation of players, because that's the kind of stuff that does well on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, even TikTok. But if you can tell these guys don't want to answer some of this crap. Like, it's just like clockwork, the same sticky stuff questions, you know, the same like, how do we shorten the games? And it's like, enough. Like, we talked about it on this show, where it's, you can only use so many words to describe how the game could be 5 to 10 minutes shorter. Who cares? Like, we gotta mix it up a little bit. So, and you can tell, you can see it in their body language. Like, I'm asking these guys, like, got to talk to Machado about the swag chain. Got to ask Rafael Devers a question in Spanish. Like, mix it up.
I saw that. That was very, very good. You're like,
Will Fleming would be proud.
You're fluent.
I know. Yeah, it was muy bueno is what it was.
But Steve, let me push back on that.
Hold on. Jason's pushing back.
No, I want to push back.
Okay, number one, you said that you don't want to piss off any writers. Forget it. Piss off anybody. It doesn't matter. They're going to piss you off. Who cares? Number two, though,
I like that. Okay.
You're talking about, like, they're asking boring questions. You're asking, like, charity questions? Like, I think a lot of people look at those and say they're boring. Yeah, that's really nice of you to ask those questions. But, like, you got access to Aaron Judge, and you're asking him, like, how nice is it to give back to the kids? That's your
Absolutely, that's the insight you want? Because that's, Jason, maybe you don't know this. I'm pushing back on you now. Maybe you don't know this, but that clip goes viral, Jason. The clip on him asking him about a rough first half. He's answered that 80 million times. He doesn't need to have that question anymore. What question would you ask Aaron Judge?
Ooh, I like this.
I don't know. Like, how hard is it to be that large and not be that fast?
That question stinks.
That stinks. What?
Ask him how much his teeth cost.
You put me on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, ask him
about his teeth. Ask him how much his
teeth
cost.
Let's go. We've done this.
I'm a thoughtful guy. I need to prepare my questions. You can't put me on the
spot. What are you talking about? This is what this.
Hey, you were pretty close to him, too, Perl, by the way.
I know. And so I hate when people make themselves like a part of the story. I try not to do that. But hey, there's a chance, you know, that he gave me the COVID. We'll see. I've been coughing a little bit. Hopefully we're good. That would be rather insane if I got COVID from Aaron Judge. But I don't think that's the case. I'm honestly surprised more guys didn't, right? Talk about like the BP, you're in the clubhouse. Like, I'm surprised that didn't just spread throughout the clubhouse.
Was there a gala? More importantly, was there a gala?
No, there wasn't a gala. You kept mentioning the gala, and I was like, I'm pretty sure this isn't happening. But I've learned with Bradford, I've learned with Bradfo, and like scheduling and planning is not his strong suit. Like, he normally is like, oh, there's this huge event happening. And then that hasn't happened for like 7 years. So
what are you talking about?
What about airport locations?
Jason can back me. There's always a gala at the All-Star Game.
Usually isn't a global pandemic at the All-Star Game.
Hey, the airport location thing, you couldn't have been more off on that either.
I had people, and again, maybe Jason can back me up on this. I had people say that you were full of hooey. From the city of Denver, from the middle of Denver to the airport, it is a good distance. Yes or no, Jason?
I've never been to Denver. It's the only MLB city I've been to.
Well, I'm going to have to. If there was only a Google something on the internet that I could check this with.
Rob, you're acting like we're having this conversation like the 70s. You can easily find out how long.
Hold on, let me pull up my encyclopedia.
And also, Steve was there. So what's his incentive to lie about the distance?
Yeah, that's a weird thing to lie about. Like, I'll tell you, I save time traveling, so gotcha. Like, all right. That's weird.
I trust you. I believe you, Steve, as I always do, with both that was no gala and that it was a quick ride from the airport. So, first, before we go to the trending, let's get Jeff in Watertown. Let's not make him hang on anymore. Yeah, we always enjoy Jeff, and especially with Steve on the line and Jason and Brian being here. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, guys, everybody. Jason, I enjoy your work, and Brian, you're doing a great job as well.
Thanks.
And, you know, my thing is, well, first of all, Brad, to me, last night was the dirt on the grave, because there was always that chance, even with an undermanned, you know, reverse lock kind of situation, that the Yankees could have done something. In the old days, they would have done something last night. The fact that they, you know, like you said, the air was sucked out of the stadium right away, like that's just, this team is dead. And I think they should be sellers at the trading deadline. I don't know that they have the balls to do that. But even if they did, like, who would you want? You know, and I know DJ LeMay or somebody Steve would want, but really, when you think about that team, like, who would you take from that Yankees team now?
Judge.
That's about it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
he's hurt all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's no easy answers, right? I mean, but Judge is a guy, and you know, it's comical, Jeff, because you look at the reports for even the last week They said, oh, the Yankees are going to go after Berrios. The Yankees are going to go after Joey Gallo. The Yankees are going to go after Frazier of Pittsburgh. Why? Like, what are you talking about? Like, this is...
I mean, it's only to promote the myth that they're in it. I mean, that would be the only reason.
Exactly. That always happens with the Yankees.
Yeah, no, they can't. That's why I'm saying, like, I don't know that they can, you know, throw it in. But, and, you know, and I go back to, and, you know this, Rob, that I think Brian Cashman is the biggest fraud, that he's just the luckiest, son of a gun to come along, that he just caught things right. But who have he, outside of Aaron Judge, who has he developed in the last 20 years? Who's been there, who's there Xander Bogaerts? You know, I mean, who's there Pedroia? Like, they just haven't, what's their philosophy? Like, I don't even know, what their philosophy is. I mean, it's not like the Dodgers and the Red Sox kind of philosophy. It's not the Rays and the Kansas City philosophy, which is a small market. Like, I don't even know, what they just seem they're stuck in 1978 or something.
And, Steve, you want to, I
rely. Hey, Jeff, thanks for the call.
Jeff. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's funny because... Hey, Steve is right, man. I mean, Steve, you're right as well, but Jeff is right as well that you look at this Yankees team. Okay, Severino, they developed him. Great. But the reason why they got Garrett Whitlock, or one of the reasons why the Red Sox were able to get Garrett Whitlock, was because the perception of the Yankees farm system was so good. They had to protect all these guys, and they couldn't possibly protect Garrett Whitlock because their farm system was considered really, really good. Well, okay, great. Like, how's that working out for you?
You're taking victory laps on Garrett Whitlock? I don't know. I'm nervous
about my goodness. How can you not take victory laps on Garrett Whitlock?
Ryan Brazier was great in 18. Where's he been since?
Well, he was the best relief pitcher for the three quarters of the season last year.
Yeah, three quarters of the season.
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
I'm never buying too much stock in 1 year of a reliever, ever. Okay. I mean,
he's not a reliever. That's the point. I don't know if you know this. He started 44 games in the minor leagues. So... And there you go. Steve, you can hang on?
Absolutely, I can hang on.
I mean, you want to do trending?
Remotely.
All right.
You'd have to email it to me. Hey, if you had sent it earlier, I would have, but this is all you.
I got
to
be honest with you. It's going to be a very bare bones
trending.
I can
do it, Rob, if you want.
Oh, you do? You got it?
I have one if you want
to
do it.
Okay.
Incredible at the trending. Barrett crushed the trending.
Barrett's incredible at a lot of things.
Now I'm going to really suck.
There you go. All right. Well, here comes the trending.
OMF, weekdays 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Before Brian Bisquick Barrett sinks his teeth into trending, let me tell you, trending's brought to you by Ocean Edge Resort, spacious rooms and villas with the amenities of home are calling your name. Jason, calling your name. Get away this summer. You've earned it. OceanEdge.com. Here's what's trending.
The Sox and the Yankees play the second of their three-game set tonight in the Bronx. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound opposite Gerrit Cole. Jarren Duran will make his big league debut. He's going to bat sixth. As we mentioned earlier, Xander Bogaerts out of the lineup. That means Kike Hernandez will play short, first pitch at 7:15. Joe Castiglione, Will Fleming, and Sean McDonough across the Shaws and Star Market. WEI Red Sox Radio Network, 6:15 pregame with Rob and I. Sox coming off that 4-0 win last night. The Sox also announced they acquired right-handed pitcher Victor Santos from the Phillies to complete their trade of C.J. Chatham. The 21-year-old made four starts in Double-A with 3.05 ERA and 20 and two-thirds. I hear, Rob, he is a changeup specialist.
WI.com is reporting he's a changeup specialist. Thank you, Google.
There we go. Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. The Suns host the Bucks. Tip at 9, the best of 7, tied at 2. At the Open Championship, Louis Oosthuizen in a one-shot lead after three rounds. Oosthuizen sits at 12 under par. Colin Morikawa is at 11 under par. Jordan Spieth, two strokes off the pace. He's at 9 under par. He's won a major since 17, so it could be a big development tomorrow. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Time now for the live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, boom, net, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
I walk a lonely road, the only one.
All right, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
I've been listening to you during the week, Bradford. Yeah. I know
all
what
right.
You like.
Now. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Let it breathe. Actually, don't let it breathe too long. It's okay. I'm Rob Bradford. This is the live BP show. Jason Mastronato of the Locked On podcast in the Boston Herald here. Brian Barrett, of course, of WEI fame is also here. Most importantly, we have Steve Peralt, the straw that stirs this drink, Section 10 podcast, Bleacher Report, and live BP show. He is on the line. He is reporting in live from New York because he has been everywhere that's important this week. That is a fact. I know everywhere you go typically is important, Steve, no matter what. But it's been.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Rob, I'm going to refute your, and most importantly, this is a Hall of Fame show right here. We have a hell of a cast. And if anything, I don't know if all these hot takes from all four of us are going to have enough time on the air, right? I mean, we got to pass the ball a little bit and get to some topics here.
Well, okay. Well, we're going to get there. And the number one topic, listen, we had to set the scene, Steve. Is this a scene?
No, I know. I just like getting you a little riled up. You're like, okay. Oh, all right.
This is where I say whatever. All right. Again, that's Steve Peralt. I'm Rob Bradford, Jason Mastronato, Brian Barrett. All right. This is what I want to throw out there because we, you know, it is getting to be about that time. We watched Tanner Houck last night. We see Jaron Duran's in the lineup today. Franchi Cordero's playing first base. Chris Sale's pitching in Portland on Tuesday. I want to know, fellas, what the Red Sox should do heading into the trade down. Now, we can do a lot of things here. You can do nothing because of all the reasons I just portrayed. You can actually get someone. And if so, what do you actually want to get? Steve, since you are the straw that stirs this drink, I want you to go first.
The more that I think about the trade deadline, the more I think about what Haim is going to do. And the more I look at this roster, especially with it now having Duran, how getting Sale back soon. You mentioned Franchi, and I was like, God, I thought I missed something when you said he's starting at first in Worcester. Let's clarify that.
You are so down on Franchi. Even after our good friend of the show, Dayton Moore, had pumped him up so much, we're not buying that.
I could have sworn I was out. We're doing a little sightseeing today. I was like, if I missed the call up of Franchi Cordero. But no, I think overall, the more I look at this roster, and we love doing projections, right? We love saying, oh, you know, Haim's got to do this. Maybe he'll do that. I'm leaning more towards he's not going to do that much. I really don't think the team necessarily needs to add a piece for a couple of months of production. And Heim doesn't do that. Normally he's going to try to get a guy that further down the road, it's going to be like, oh, gotcha, look, like we're getting more out of him that you didn't see in the next 1, 2, 3 years. So I don't know. I don't really think, I know a lot of first basemen have been thrown out there, guys saying Rizzo, you know, Carlos Santana, some of the other veterans. But I honestly, my gut keeps telling me that he's not going to do that much. So that's where I stand right now.
All right, Jason?
They need a left-handed bat, and I would consider, here are the guys I'd consider moving. Arroyo, who I think...
Wait, moving?
Yeah,
whoa.
If you can get something for him.
Oh.
Okay, they have four guys the same thing. They have, like, Hunter Renfro, Kiki Hernandez, Christian Arroyo, Bobby Dalbec.
You would be a terrible GM.
You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, they all hit lefties. That's all they do. None of them hit righties.
So
look
you
at the numbers.
You have
like,
a guy, Christian Arroyo, who's
righties.
Under control for like a
Listen,
million
I'm just
years.
Saying, you got to pick somebody. You got to pick someone to move. Who are you moving? You can't get anything from Michael
Chavis. Why do you have
Chavis.
To pick anyone?
Because you got to go get somebody.
But why do you have to move Arroyo?
Do you have to get someone? Do you have to?
Okay, what are they, 0-3 against the 0-5, 1-5 against the Astros this year?
Yeah.
You think they're going to beat the Astros in the ALCS?
I honestly, the Astros are the concern, yes, but is making the move going to make it better than the Astros?
Their offense went silent against Houston.
Okay, so you want to trade Christian Arroyo.
I'm not saying I want to trade him. I was going to list off some names of guys
going,
I would move.
Keep going, sorry.
Okay,
I did not mean to interrupt you.
I would trade Bobby Dalbec.
Okay.
I would trade Jeter Downs.
Okay.
And that's it for going down the list of if we're going to get into the prospects. You're not trading anybody else in their top like eight. Of their prospects. Those are the guys I'd consider moving because you don't need them.
Okay. You do need Christian Arroyo. That's
for one,
that's
he does the same thing Kike does.
It's not about, it's about having a second baseman for the next
Kike
6 years.
Hernandez. 6 years? You think Arroyo's going to be a 6 year player?
You don't think he's an everyday second baseman?
He's got like a 580 OPS against right handers. No, he's not an everyday second
baseman.
Oh,
he's not?
No. Okay. No chance is he my everyday
second. You know when the last time he made an error was?
19?
June 2nd, 2019.
When's the last time he did something against right-handed pitching?
Last night.
He did double up righty last
I think Jordan
night.
Montgomery was pitching.
Domingo Herman's a righty, though. Yeah, he did double
thank
later
you,
on
thank
in the
game. All right, Brian, you're up next.
So my plan kind of got thrown off this week because what I wanted them to do is get another starter. I felt like, all right, we'll see what Erod is in the second half of the season. As I've mentioned multiple times, I think he's trending in the right direction. I always want to buy into Pivetta, but then he has a start like he did last week on Sunday against the Phillies. So right now you have Eovaldi that you can rely on. We'll see what Sale is when he comes back, but we're not there yet. So I wanted them to go after Morton, who's on a one-year deal for $15 million. They were interested in him in the offseason. Bloom had him in Tampa. Cora had him when he was in Houston. But the problem now is you saw the move they made. They went after and they got Jock Peterson. So Atlanta apparently thinks they can still win, and it's a crappy division.
Everybody in that division thinks they can win.
But if you got him in the rotation, he instantly becomes, with and Chris Sale notwithstanding, he instantly is the most reliable pitcher in the rotation, and that's a guy that you would want in the postseason. He's better than Nathan Eovaldi.
Do you like Charlie Morton, Steve?
Yeah, Chucky Morton seems like he would fit right in Boston. I think Brian's logic also makes sense. I just really don't. My gut's telling me that Heim's not going to add a starting piece when they're talking so highly of what Chris Sale is doing, not just during the rehab assignment, but leading up to it as well. And Erod kind of is the X factor, right? Like if he can be close to what he was in 19 for this second half and into the playoffs, I don't think you need any other starters. If Sale is doing well, if Sale is pitching well and he's pitching up to his potential, I'm not so convinced that you're going to need another starter for this run, especially with how creative Cora can get with making, you know, Eovaldi or insert, you know, starter here, Pivetta, a bullpen guy, and you already have Houck out there. I'm not so certain that they need another guy, but it all comes down to Erod and Sale, honestly.
Can I ask you guys a question, though?
You may.
Don't they have to make a move to send a message to the clubhouse?
Well, yes. I mean, I think that when Heim Bloom came on the Greg Hill show, and he was like, could you see you not making a move? He said, insinuated, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I would like to make a move because it's important, exactly what we're talking about. It's important to make a move. You would like to make a move because that shows you you're getting better. And he didn't really mention this, but it does send a message. It's important to send a message in some way, shape, or form. Now, it's my turn. I would just say this, is that unless you really, really think, and Steve earmuffs, Franchy Cordero, Franchy Cordero can come up and be the left-handed complement at first base.
He won't.
He won't. Then I'm like, I have totally convinced myself this in the last week, that Anthony Rizzo, to me, is a perfect guy. He's now you're gonna have to overpay for him, no question
is
about
Jeff it. In Watertown? Did we just
I know.
Another right-handed bat.
He called. What
is Rizzo left? Oh, he's left-handed.
Lefty.
Okay, yeah. We're good. Yeah. Yep, we're good.
Again, you're a terrible GM.
I'm in on Rizzo.
So, but Jed Hoyer, you're gonna have to overpay because he's an iconic guy, even though he's gonna be a free agent and everything else. But still, I just look at like the type of guy he is, the position that he plays, the skill set, and I know he's a reverse split guy, but to me, Jeff in Watertown is right all along. Like, this to me is the guy that you get. I don't know if you want to allocate anything for a starting pitcher, because assuming that Sale's okay, assuming that Erod's going to be good, I know these are big assumptions, but it is what it is. So to me, that's what you do.
Rob, my question to you guys is, if you're on the Red Sox right now, if you're a Red Sox player, and this is kind of, you know, playing off of the, you have to prove to them to make a move that you're invested in, that you think, if you're Chaim Bloom, you think you can win the World Series. If I'm on the Red Sox right now, like, what do I think the team needs the most of? Would it be the first baseman? That's kind of where I'm leaning, is that Bobby Dalbec comes into the year with AL Rookie of the Year hype. Who knows if that messed with him a little bit. And he obviously hasn't lived up to the expectations that he set for himself. If I'm on the Red Sox, is it the first baseman the top priority of what I would want Chaim Bloom to go get?
Well, I think in you know, I don't know how you guys feel. I think that on any team, they're sort of insulated to a reality a little bit, where a lot of time they're like, hey, you know what? You know, we're good enough. We can do it. Everyone, the whole, like, nobody believes in us mentality. And I think that permeates.
Which they will use. They will use that.
Yeah. Like, they'll be like, if they don't do anything, they'll be like, we believe in Bobby, right? Which is fine.
They were pinch hitting for Dalbec in May.
Right.
They didn't care about that.
But here's the interesting thing about Dalbec. The next 2 weeks, and this is really kind of the interesting thing with this team overall. All right, you have Duran. You have the Hauk, the dynamic, and you have Dalbec. Because Gonzalez is hurt and Chavis is your only other first baseman, Dahlbeck's going to play a ton. So you're going to find out in the next week or two exactly what you have, what version of Dalbec you have. Yes? No?
I think they've already given up on him, my opinion, because Alex Cora is usually the kind of manager who's like a long-term, let's look at the whole season type of manager. The way he's managed Dalbec this year, to me, is we need to win now. It's not working with him. Yeah, I'm not worried.
Yeah,
about
he
his
still
confidence.
Keeps putting him in the
against
line.
Lefties.
He really must hate Chavis because.
But yeah, I mean, let's be honest though. How many big at bats have they pinch hit for Dalbec? Because I know you alluded to it, Jason. Like, it's happened a lot. Yep. It happened early and it's happened all season. And I say big at bats. It doesn't even have to be the eighth and ninth inning. It's the fifth inning, and they're pulling them. You know, with two guys on or bases loaded. So that kind of tells you all you need to know and how they look at him and how they expect him to perform the rest of the year.
Yeah, I don't see any scenario where they don't like change the dynamic at first base going into the last couple of months of the season.
Could that be internal?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, honestly. And internal could be moving Arroyo over there, Jason's guy. I mean, he's working out there.
He's the same as Dalbec. They both crush lefties.
Okay, well,
like, but at least
Dalbec crushes everyone.
And
he does a
play.
Euro step while he does it.
Yeah.
Right?
And a wave now. He added that to the rotation.
Oh, he does?
Yeah, but Dalbec is scary entering a postseason, right? I mean, you look at it, 200 and, out of the 207 players that have had 220 plate appearances, he's last in all of baseball in strikeout rate. He's second to last in contact rate. That's just not a sustainable formula for the postseason. So you do need an alternative there. And whether that is, and I know Arroyo's out there taking ground balls the other day, I'm intrigued by that because that means you don't maybe have to go out there externally. But that is like the gaping hole, the low-hanging fruit. I just like the higher prize where you look, the Yankees suck right now. The Blue Jays will be good in the future. The Astros are good, but they're not a super team, and the same thing with Chicago. If you have an opportunity to go for it, that's why I throw out Charlie Morton.
Okay. I like the fact you're throwing out, as Steve called, Chuck. I like Chuck.
Chuck
right?
Morton. I
Chuck
like that.
Morton.
Chucky Morton. Chucky Morton kid. I think his name would fit in. I know that much.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Steve. Well, before you go, it has been the week of Steve. You ready for your top three moments?
I am ready for my top three all moments. Right. It's more top three takeaways.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course. Anything, of course. Let's go.
Okay, because one of them is very negative, and I already mentioned it kind of, sort of. So top three takeaways of the week. Drinking with Pete Alonso was a lot of fun. I got to say that was pretty cool. Got to see the home run chain. He came out and joined us in the bar after winning the home run derby, and that was awesome. Coors Field, like I mentioned to you and Barrett, is incredible. I love Coors Field. I re-ranked my top five parks I've ever been to. Coors Field at number three, only behind Wrigley and Fenway Park, which is really saying something. Dodger Stadium got bumped out of the top five. Wow. Sorry, Dodger Stadium. Maybe next year for the All-Star game, you guys can get back in the top five. And, yeah, lastly, NYC, New York City smells so bad. It's disgusting. You can't walk around anywhere. Like, we're trying to do, like I mentioned, I'm here with my girlfriend. We're trying to do city stuff, right? Like, we're trying to do some touristy things and walk around. You can't go one block without smelling garbage, piss, and being approached by someone that, you know, looks like they've been outside for a very long time. And it drives me nuts. It really drives me nuts because I feel like if they put any effort in, they could make this a way better city, a way more livable city. And just a middle finger, honestly, to everybody that's saying, no, New York never left. New York is back. New York is thriving. No, it's not. It's garbage.
It's never been hot in the summer. Like, New York, everyone in New York leaves in the summer, though. New Yorkers don't hang around in the summer.
And so as a quick bonus addendum, how was the World Trade Center? Because I had talked it up to you.
Oh, incredible. Yeah. No, that was the views up there.
That did not smell like piss or garbage. No.
No, it did not. It was actually pristine. The air was very clean. It was nice. I got to go way back when in 97 at the old Trade Center with my family. And so it's nice to see those views. And that's the part of New York I like. Like, I like doing Top Empire State, Top of the Rock at NBC there. Like, that kind of, any rooftop stuff will always play. But when you're on the ground, it stinks.
All right, Steve Peralt, man, I'm glad you had a great week. You did an excellent, excellent job for Bleacher Report, Section 10 podcast, and of course for us. So we really appreciate it. And enjoy the last couple of days here. You're through the whole series, correct?
The whole series, yeah. Going to go tomorrow night. I will hop on tomorrow for Live BP. Going to be at 4 as well, leading up to first pitch of Red Sox-Yankees. And tonight's game, they said recently that it's still up in the air. There's still no guarantees tonight's game happens. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on that.
All right, man. Keep us updated, all right? Boots on the ground.
Absolutely. You guys crush it today, all right?
All right. Steve, the great Steve Peralt joins us. We got to take a break. I'm Rob Bradford. That's Jason Mastronow. That's Brian Barrett. Just behind the glass. This is the Live BP Show.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time now for the Live BP Baseball Show.
Ball point, boom, net, ball, net, done.
With Rob Bradford and Steve Peralt.
Throw a ball to the stick, man.
More baseball talk now.
We have some pillows. We have some pillows on the dirt.
Bradford and Peralt on WEEI.
Here we go. That's what I'm talking about, Stiz.
Have you ever seen them live, Bradford?
No, man. I got to. Oh, have you?
No. The bucket list type stuff.
Have you guys?
I have no idea who this is.
Jason?
Who is this? This sounds like John Mayer's guitar, but
no,
it's not.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, no. I'm a dead guy.
By the way, I was listening to... This is, by the way, the Live BP Baseball Show, getting you ready for Red Sox-Yankees Game 2 of a 3-game series. That was supposed to be a 4-game series. I'm Rob Bradford, along with Jason Mastronato and Brian Barrett. Thanks to Steve Peralt for checking in from New York. That's just behind the glass. I was listening to a Smashing Pumpkins guy. What's his name? Who was the guy at Smashing Pumpkins? You know, the bald guy.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah. Anyway, he was ripping Eddie Vedder. Ripping him.
Why?
Because he thought he sold out. Excellent interview. Anyway, speaking of excellent interviews, that was an excellent couple segments with Steve Peralt. It's always good to have someone there telling us how much New York smells and stinks and it's awful and how bad the Yankees are. It's all delicious. Speaking of delicious, it was a good week for baseball, I think. I think overall, up until the COVID stuff, that is. But let's go back in time, fellas. Let's go back in time into when, you know, the Red Sox finished things off and against the Phillies. Against the Phillies, and they're heading in the All-Star game. The All-Star game starts, and Steve, who was out there, he talked about the All-Star game and all the pomp and circumstance. And I feel sort of like baseball, I felt this way for a couple weeks now. The baseball has some momentum. I felt that they had momentum heading through the All-Star, through the Home Run Derby. All-Star game, eh. But still, I feel like baseball has some momentum. Certainly in Boston it does, and I'm anxious to get your guys' perspective of this, is that in Boston it is this dynamic of obviously a younger demographic came out since 2011, the highest ratings for age group, I think it was 18 to 34 years old. That is a storyline. That is a big, big deal. And with baseball, I feel like this is sort of across the board. And yes, they shoot themselves in the foot. They continue to do this, but there are cracks here that suggest that maybe things are going the right direction. Jason, your thoughts?
Yeah, this was why I had a problem with the sticky stuff crackdown. This is why I don't understand why they're going to get rid of seven-inning doubleheaders and the man on extra.
That's what I'm talking about, shooting themselves. Like, yeah. When I heard that, I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, the game is doing well. The game is doing well because we have a lot of young, speedy, athletic players that people want to watch, and we are intentionally ruining it with the sticky stuff crackdown in the middle of the season, which is why I didn't like that, and this other stuff going on. In terms of the All-Star game, I thought the Home Run Derby was fun. I thought the All-Star game was miserable television. I have no interest in listening to Joe Buck tell every player he interviews to have a great second half. He's really rooting for them. And ask Sandra Bogarts what he's looking for against Max Scherzer as he, like, strikes out swinging.
By the way, if I was Sandra Bogarts, I would have ripped out the mic.
Zero chance I would have put it in to begin with. But I don't understand why Major League Baseball wants to do this. You've got all this momentum. You've got the best players in the world right here on the field. You've got eyeballs. Let them play. I didn't even know who was playing half the time.
Remember,
like, who's at shortstop? I don't know.
And this is another example of this, and I'm totally with you. This whole, like, they feel like, oh, well, you know what? The mic'd up thing is so awesome. Look at Mookie Betts back in spring training. That's spring training.
That was one moment they've been chasing.
That was one moment. And by the way, you know, the absolute worst example of this was Ramon Laureano. In the playoffs, in the postseason, at the time where you're supposed to basically let the game speak for itself, and you're miking a guy up, and this is the same deal. It's like it's whatever. You mic up the most entertaining player, fine. Do what the NBA does, and, you know, relive it, you know, as drips and drabs here. But don't do the whole live. Here go. Oh, I bet you were expecting a fastball there.
Yeah, it's supposed to be competitive. You know, we want to see competition. Everyone says, well, my favorite thing about the All-Star game is we get to see guys be teammates who aren't usually teammates. Guys who don't face each other usually get to face each other. But it's not competitive if we're making it a circus, if we're making it an event. I didn't feel like there was a lot of competitive baseball on the field, and there could have been. I would have liked to see those guys actually compete against each other. So I did not enjoy the All-Star game.
Brian?
I really enjoyed the Home Run Derby. Like, I can remember a couple of them that I really enjoyed. I was at the one at Fenway in 99, which was awesome, when McGuire was steroided up and Ken Griffey Jr. put on a show. I can remember the Josh Hamilton one. And this one will be up there with that, because the comeback Ohtani had to force the overtime, if you will, and then Soto winning that extra frame, and then Pete Alonso. He's really good for the Home Run Derby. It's like when you have a really good guy.
Well, he also talks crap. I'm like,
yeah,
that's
fun.
A big part of it, right? I mean, it wasn't like it was a joy to be out there with the fellas. You know, no,
greatest
it was like
power hit in the world.
Yeah, it's like, I can't believe the odds. I can't believe that people didn't believe me. Of course, I was going to win. You know, blah blah blah. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, and I love when he said, "I'm waiting for my walk up music to go out there." Like, that was awesome. I could go without some of the mic'd up stuff. I agree in terms of the All Star game, but my biggest takeaway from the week is, you have Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's 22, Fernando Tatis Jr., who's 22. Those are two of the biggest stars in the sport right now. And you have a guy in Ohtani that pitches and is the best power hitter. So if you can't get it right this time and get into the mainstream more, and we've said the ratings are up. I mean, that's evident. But this is going to fall on Rob Manfred to be able to lead this, right? And that's the concern. To Jason's point, how do you say that during the All-Star break about the seven-inning games and the runner on second base? Like, I was hesitant about that when they first implemented that rule, but ever since it happened, everybody enjoys it. I don't know one person that has said to me that likes baseball said, this is dumb. I don't understand this. It makes perfect sense to do this. We don't need 14-inning games. So It feels like they have all this positive momentum, and then every time Manfred opens his mouth, he says something idiotic like the piece of metal comedy made a year and a half ago about the World Series trophy. It's every time that this sport seems to build up steam, Manfred brings it back. That's why I think they need a different guy in charge.
It is so true. I mean, it is so true. The one that I just could not get my head around was the extra inning thing. I think you could make a case for 7-inning games across the board, and I understand why they won't do it, because you're taking away jobs, you're taking away money and all that. Okay, fine. But the 7-inning games, they're great, because immediately you have a sense of urgency, and this is what baseball needs.
And Cora said that. Remember, he bunted in the second inning.
Right. Yep. Forget about worrying about shaving off 9 minutes. It's about the pace. It's about the sense of urgency. But the extra inning thing is an absolute no-brainer, because, and you guys know this, you guys have sat through these extra inning games, where when it hits the extra innings, you're like, ugh, all right, I got to dig in. And then you're like, I don't want to allocate time, because this could go all night. But immediately it becomes the shootout in soccer, the shootout in hockey. Immediately it becomes a thing, like, let's go. Listen, okay, you know what? I enjoyed watching this great game of baseball for 9 innings, and now it's only going to get better.
And not only that, it's strategy, right? So if you're the Mariners, are you going to bunt? If you're the Red Sox, maybe you don't bunt. It depends who's up, and you can question the manager after the game if he doesn't bunt or not. So I think it brings in more strategical elements to the game that we don't get throughout the 9 innings. It's totally different. And look, you played for 9 innings and you're tied. So what's wrong with having something a little bit different after that? You play 162 of them.
It seems like they're intent on removing strategy as much as possible. No more DH in the National League. Okay, well, there goes the entire strategy of the National League. No more man on second to start extra innings. Well, that strategy's gone. No more shifting. Oh, okay, we'll just put two guys on one side and two on the other like every other team. Well, I don't understand why they want to eliminate strategy so much as much as they do. But I think if we polled the MLB managers about, do you like 7-inning doubleheaders? Do you like extra inning games?
Oh, they want 7-inning games.
30 out of 30 would probably say
yes. I tell you
what,
Alex Cora wants 7-inning games.
So the only explanation to me is everything that comes out of Rob Manfred's mouth this year is all about the CBA.
Yes.
It's all about leverage. He doesn't actually care about anything else. It's about leverage going into
the CBA. Well, including, by the way, the sticky stuff.
I mean, of course.
And real quick, because we got to go to a break. But with the sticky stuff, it's this has become eyewash. Like, I think that they inadvertently have actually got something that works, in the sense that they're putting more balls in play. That's good. So they've gotten these pitchers to not be as good, I guess, and the hitters to be a little bit better. Once again, good. The end result of this is good. But the execution of it is such a joke. These pitchers come off the field, and I don't know how anyone can watch this and think it's anything but a joke. The umpire grabs the glove. He does the look. Then he grabs the hat. He does the look. The pitcher unbuckles his belt. They don't even check that anymore. And it's eyewash. And, you know, because how many other places could a pitcher be hiding stuff? It's just all eyewash. And by the way, it'll go away. They'll stop doing it, much like that rule where, remember the Ortiz rule of stepping out of the batter's box.
Yep.
And I actually asked an umpire this. I said, is this still a rule? Because a couple of years ago, this was a big deal, that you could not actually leave the batter's box. You had to keep a foot in. He's like, yeah, it's a rule, but nobody enforces it. Go watch. So anyway, we got to go to a break. We see everybody lining up. 617-779-7937. This is a live BP baseball show. I'm Rob Bradford. Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald and Locked On Podcast. Brian Barrett of WEI. Steve Peralt checked in from New York. You can go to WEI.com to check out the audio from that first hour. We'll be back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.